This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Ernest, what's up? Look, quick question. How is your social battery doing right now? I'll be honest, mine is a bit on the low side. Maybe it's not setting enough boundaries or just a typical slowdown after our super hectic work schedule. It's so easy to overlook our social needs or overextend ourselves, isn't it? What's your ideal balance of socializing? And how do you recharge? Whether you find energy in crowds or need more time to yourself, understanding your social needs is crucial. I remember a time when I struggled to balance my social engagement with my personal downtime. Y'all know us, we're always outside. So what really helped me was learning to recognize my limits and prioritizing my well-being. I've heard plenty of my peers champion therapy as a great tool for gaining this kind of insight. It's not just for big life issues. It's also about enhancing your day-to-day life by equipping you with the skills to manage your social energy effectively. So if you're considering therapy, why not check out BetterHelp? It's an entirely online service, making it incredibly convenient and adaptable to your lifestyle. Just start with a quick questionnaire and you'll be matched with a licensed therapist. And if you feel the need to switch therapists for any reason, you can do so at any time without any extra cost. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/earnyourleisure today to get 10% off your first month. Remember, that's BetterHelp, HELP.com/earnyourleisure. Don't wait, don't hesitate, head over there now. Earners, what's going on? Look, today's episode is brought to you by our friends at Acorns. You know, investing can often feel intimidating and many people don't know where to start. Some think you need a lot of money to begin or that it's something you can put off because it doesn't seem urgent. Plus, with our busy lives, who has time to manage and research investments? That's where Acorns comes in. Acorns make it easy to start automatically saving and investing for your future. You don't need a lot of money or expertise to invest with Acorns. In fact, you can get started with just your spare change. Acorns recommends an expert-built portfolio that fits you and your money goals, then automatically invests your money for you. Personally, I found Acorns to be a game changer. It's really helped me get into the habit of investing without even thinking about it. Every time I make a purchase, a little bit of my spare change gets invested, and over time, those small actions have started to make a big difference. From Acorns, mighty oaks do grow, right? It's all about giving your money a chance to grow with Acorns. So if you want to start saving and investing for your future, head to acorns.com/earn. That's acorns.com/EARN or download the Acorns app today. And who would I be without giving you an important disclaimer? Client testimonial. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Investing involves risk. Acorns Advisors, LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/earn.
People don't realize that this police brutality or police misconduct issue is a financial issue that impacts taxpayers. And you saying about like the E&O insurance, that was something that I had thought because I'm like, okay, well, as a financial advisor, I had to have E&O insurance, errors and omission insurance, because I might make a mistake. I might recommend something to you. It's just by accident. I'm not trying to scam you, but I might make a mistake in recommending something to you that potentially could cost you money. And then you could end up suing the company. So then that's up to my errors and omissions policy to pay out $20,000 that you may have lost in bad advice that was given, right? Or like you said, doctors have medical malinsurance where if they do something by accident and they cause a permanent scar, right? Now you can sue the hospital, sue the doctor, and then their insurance will cover that, right? Even if it's by accident. So it's like, okay, well, why not hold police officers to that same thing and have them have individual errors and omission policies, right? So now, even if it's you're paying $100 a month, $50 a month, whatever you're paying, right? $75 a month from millions of people adds up, right? So now you have hundreds of millions of dollars. Now that's how insurance works, where now, okay, if I have to pay $20 million, it's not coming from X, Y, and Z taxpayer. It's coming from the police department, which they should be responsible for, right? So talk about that, because like I said, that's a national, this is the kind of a national issue that you're championing, right? So talk about, like, really drill at home how that really impacts people's pockets and how when we talk about police reform, that's not really talked about a lot. We talk about police reform, we talk about less guns, but we don't really talk about the financial aspects of police reform.
So it's a exact perfect point, and it is a national issue because just if you think about municipal budgets, and we started off talking about the importance of local elections, you'll have your municipal budget and there'll be a certain amount earmarked for your police department. And then most of them have their general fund, and your general fund will be where any surplus, any additional money that you didn't budget for has to be used to pay. And it could be lawsuits, could be police misconduct. If you now take all of the money that is previously budgeted, tax money, that is either put in a line item for settlements, because they have line items for settlements. And then if you're not drawing on your general fund to pay for the conduct of bad police officers, that's additional money that could go to senior programs. That's additional money that could go to housing. That's additional money that could be used for parks, youth programming, mental health initiatives. There are all of these things that could be redirected. And to your point, there's a big pot of money. Right now, most of the municipalities up to a certain point are self-insured. New York City is self-insured. So think using New York City as an example, the millions of dollars that they are now paying out for police misconduct. And let's add to the equation that that doesn't change the system. None of these payouts have changed the way that the police operate in the United States. The George Floyd settlement, $27 million, still didn't change the way that municipalities are policing. So the fact that when you have this money that is being spent, 60 to 63% of most local budgets goes to school districts, which people don't even realize in most instances, 63% of your taxes, your local taxes, are going to a school district. Most people couldn't tell you how many people are on the school board, who the individuals are. And I don't know in any other arrangement where we would allow 60% of our money to be spent by someone who we can't identify and not know what they're spending it on. So why would we do that in the context of our tax dollars? So to go back to the policing, if you had a overall, if it's Geico, Nationwide, and their regional insurance companies, where they had an entire database of officers and were selling these policies, one, you would have them interested because it's a new product. It's a new insurance product for them to sell to the individual officers. If you now were reallocating all of that money, one, that was previously spent for paying out for bad police conduct to all of the other aforementioned programs across the country, think of what that impact looks like. If you now have all of these officers not persuaded by Black Lives Matter, not persuaded by what the National Action Network or any other cause is doing, but solely their self-interest, thinking about Adam Smith and his principle, the economic principle that people being self-interested generally benefits the whole. If you have police officers across the country that are singularly focused on, I don't want my premiums to rise, or I don't want my premium to be canceled, where I would no longer be able to be a police officer and lose my pension, think of the significant reduction in the cases of police brutality that we would have across the country. Think about the billions of dollars that would be saved by municipal government that could be reallocated to other resources that they didn't have to pay on the backs of the taxpayers.
Yeah, you mentioned a lot of it is looking inside and having transparency when it comes to policing and the financing. But we know when you brought up the PBA, anytime there's an incident, they come and they stand together. It's a band of brothers. It's a code of blue that they live by. How can we improve relationships, I guess, one between the community and policing? And how do we improve transparency when it comes to police in general?
Local elections and having mayors, town supervisors, and legislators that are, one, going to hold the police accountable, two, that are going to make the amount that they are spending on the police readily available to the police. Even in the district attorney's office, the way that it's currently constructed now is like a black box. If you wanted to know who's being prosecuted, what they're being charged with, their demographic information, That information is not readily available, but your tax dollars are going to pay the salaries of the people employed in that office. It shouldn't be. You should be able to jump on wherever you live, jump onto the website of your local district attorney's office or your local police department and find out exactly what the work is that they're doing in your name if they're supposed to be serving the people. I think that the recruitment efforts and recruiting individuals who come from the communities where they are actually going to police is extremely important. Because if you can see in an individual that you may have a street encounter with, someone that looks like your cousin, looks like your brother, your nephew, it changes the lens generally in which you interact with that person. I think about the Kyle Rittenhouse, the dude that was in, I believe he was in Illinois, that shot the Black Lives Matter protesters. And I was always struck by the way that the judge was interacting with him throughout that trial. And it was clear to me that he saw his grandson in there and he was treating him in a way that if it was a black or brown person, I doubt that he would have had the compassion and treated him the way that he was treating him. So we need to make sure that our police force reflects the communities that they're going to serve. If you have people that are coming in from outside of your community an hour away, it's not personal for them. They're not looking to try to develop this bond with you. They're often an occupying force. I think another piece to it, and I've said this to the leadership in the Mount Vernon Police Department, is that if they truly want to heal the relationship between communities of color and the police, they need to approach it the way that somebody who starts dating someone who's been the victim of domestic violence or someone who's been subject to infidelity. At the beginning phase of that relationship, there's going to be a lot that you have to overcome where your partner is not going to trust you and you're going to bear the brunt of the trauma that someone that is not you has put upon that person. And if you genuinely care, you work through it. You don't take it personal. You recognize that this person is going through a healing process. The police need to do the same thing if they are serious and sincere about developing a stronger relationship with community of color. Yes, there are going to be times where people are going to be loud. They're going to be boisterous. They're going to curse. And they are not going to say, good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Officer. Happy to see you, because there's trauma. If you understand the history of policing in this country and what it has been for black and brown communities, that has often been a very contentious relationship. So again, backing up to where we started with the discussion, if you have police professionals, it is a licensed profession, people who are educated. And I'm not against paying them more, because offsetting the savings from all of the police brutality that I believe would be addressed if you have people who are more qualified, people who are better educated, people who are licensed and have their own insurance policy in place, then you can afford to pay the police officers more, because now they are being treated like professionals and not just a job that you're in for 20 years. And I think that when you put better quality individuals in police forces, that's going to have a direct impact on the quality of policing, and it'll be easier to engage members of the community because they're now working with police professionals, not somebody that's doing a job because it was the family business and they're thinking, how can I do my 20 and get to my pension?
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.